Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
If it feels like the Cleveland Browns bandwagon is getting a little bit crowded, it's because the Cleveland Browns bandwagon is freaking packed. A team that won exactly one game the last two seasons has fans steel clawing the back bumper just to get a piece of the swaggiest team in the NFL right now. Now, maybe it's the Hard Knocks effect. Maybe it's the fact that the Browns went out in the offseason, they gutted their front office, they rebuilt their roster. But if you're looking around and you're wondering why all of a sudden Browns fans are no longer in witness protection, you are not alone. And the one place that's really taking notice right now is Vegas. No team is getting more love and more run in Sin City than the Browns. Let that sentence marinate for 1 second. No team is getting more run or more love in Sin City than the Browns. A team that literally got zero action the past couple of years. Now you've got dudes wrapped around the corner trying to get to the ticket window just to get in on the action. ESPN Chalk had this quote from a sportsbook manager at Caesars Palace, and I quote, "There are more bets on the Browns to win the AFC North than the other three teams combined. Only the Raiders and Steelers have more bets to win the AFC. The public likes the Browns, and I'm not sure why," end quote. I'll tell you why. They see what's happening in Believe Land, a quarterback room that's got Tyrod Taylor, T-squared, whatever, they've got that guy. And they've got Baker Mayfield, and they've got a backfield with Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, and a rookie stud in Nick Chubb, Juice Landry, Josh Gordon on the outside, Miles Garrett coming off the edge, Jamie Collins, Michael Kendricks at linebacker, a rebuilt secondary. Maybe Juice was not the only dude thinking big when he dropped the quote of the preseason. Quote, "You'll be lucky if we don't score 40 on you. If we get everybody playing to their potential, we can win the Super Bowl this year." End quote. So when you've got money pouring into Vegas, you know they're doing something right. Check this quote from the VP of Race and Sports at the MGM. Quote, "The Browns are our only liability right now. We're sitting pretty well on every other team except Cleveland," end quote. Man, there's something going on here. I mean, forget the rest of the NFL. The Browns are making Vegas nervous. The Browns have too many people betting on them in Vegas. Now, let's be straight. Does throwing down cold hard cash on a team to win it all mean they're going to bust out? Does it mean they're ready to bust out? Of course not. Of course not. Just because that's where the money is going doesn't mean the money knows. Of course not. I mean, if that were the case, then Notre Dame would have had 50 natties stacked by now. The Cubs would have had more than one parade in the last 110 years. But just because LeBron packed up and headed to LA, it does not mean that Believe Land is dead. And if you thought the Cavs winning a world championship nearly melted that city into Lake Erie, can you imagine what the hell would happen if the Browns did it, like Juice said they will this year? Browns fan, I'm starting the program off today because I need to check in with you. You've been getting the living hell beat out of you for the past 2 years. Really, for most of your entire lives, at least as it relates to football. So let me check in with you. What do you think is going to happen this year? Are you going to win 2 games? Are you going to win 4 games? Or are you going to win 8? Or are you going to win 8 or are you going to win the division? Are you going to win the division or are you going to the freaking Super Bowl? Nothing ever lives up to the hype and y'all are getting the hell hyped out of you. Are you guys going to back it all up? Or does it end the way it always does? Horribly, with you being a national punchline. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was, or never the same ever again. Artificial bump from Hard Knocks, or they're building a legitimate ass-kicking bully in Cleveland. Browns fan, what the hell is it? Now is your time. Get in here and be real with it. You're preparing for the worst, like always, or you're planning a parade. Time to check in, Browns fan. Nick Rolovich is my guest. Nick, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Romy, you kidding me? I'm fired up. Hey, aloha, clones. Good to be back.
Aloha, coach. Good to have you back. Listen, Nick, on a serious note right off the top, there are reports of a hurricane that might have the islands in its path. How are you and your players doing? How closely are you monitoring that?
Looks like it's going to be real this time. You know, we've had a bunch of scares the last few years, but this one's taking a turn. A lot of preparation going. We haven't had, on Oahu, haven't had something like this in a while. So there is a little bit of kind of hunkering down. We're going to get out, I think, before we fly out tonight, about 8 o'clock our time. So I think we'll beat the storm, but looks like there'll be some damage by the wind and rain.
All right, Nick, so you got the big game coming up this weekend. Before I get to football, though, I've got to ask you about video game football. More specifically, a tweet that you had the other day, which included two picks from a Madden game where Tampa Bay was leading Atlanta 35-14 at halftime. And, Nick, the caption was, "What's the 21-point rule, Dad? Sunday lessons for young grasshopper. Don't you have to go to work, Dad?" Quote unquote.
Yeah, all right, so that was the quote.
Does it mean what I think it means? Did you just run up the score on a kid in Madden? And if so, how did that go?
With Jameis Winston in the Bucks. Put it, hey, and it's my kid. It's not just any kid, it's my kid.
Right.
And if he needs to learn the 21-point rule, he needs to learn it. That's just America.
That is America. So not just the Bucks, Jameis Winston's Bucks, and not just any kid, but your kid. Hey, listen,
yeah, right.
Tough love. Look, you had a strong first season. Things did not necessarily go the way you would have liked last season. What has the mood been like this camp in fall?
Well, much better. I'm not going to put it on, you know, if we struggle again, I don't think I'm coming on next year. I'll be honest with you, Romy. But I think we got a better mindset. We got a bunch of young kids that are hungry. We've got a bunch of new faces. We're going to have a bunch of contributors that really are here to play football and play football the right way. I think we'll make people proud by the way we play. Maybe not all with wins and losses, but these kids are going to play hard. And we're going to throw the ball around. You know, we'll go back to run and shoot, catch it, throw it, score touchdowns. That's the plan.
And just so you don't have to sweat this, Nick, you got a lot to worry about as it is. Like any other coach, you're coming on next year no matter where you are. I know you'll be there, but you're always welcome on the program. I'm glad you brought up the run and shoot because there's going to be the return to the run and shoot offense this year. You've said that if somebody woke you up in the middle of the night and asked you to call a play, you would call something from the run and shoot. So what is it about that offense and the relationship it has with your program that makes it so special?
Well, it's just got a nice history here, but, you know, you play for June Jones, and you get around Miles Davis, and the aggressive mindset of football, you know, basically they talk about, hey, they get 11 guys. If we're smart enough to be on the same page and make the correct decisions versus the defense, you know, there's answers for every defense. Now, that's in theory, and that's what we believe going in, but now you got to execute at a high level, consistently play in, play out.
Head football coach of Hawaii, Nick Rolovich, my guest. And Nick, going into camp, the big question was who would take over as the team's starting quarterback? And you've got three talented options. You've said you can see all three of these guys playing and winning for you at some point. So what's your approach at quarterback as you go into Saturday's season opener?
You know, you just feel bad because you got three guys you think you can play, but you can't go through a season, you know, thinking, you know, maybe I go with the number three guy this week. That's not really the plan. Just really proud of Jeremy Musa and the way he was throwing the ball around. But it looks like right now we're going to start with Cole McDonald and Chevin Cordero, two guys who had really good camps, very accurate, got some ability to move their feet in case the pocket breaks down. So, and been pretty diligent, you know. You know, you talk about a true freshman and a redshirt sophomore, but really worked with the mindset of you know, a high-level college quarterback, I thought, in their work ethic, in their desire to be great. You know, our coaching staff has done a great job with them.
You know, Nick, I wish I'd been there. I saw it, but I was not there for it. I'm talking about conference media days in Vegas. Remember last year you brought an Elvis impersonator, but that was plan B after you had to scrap the idea of having a monkey on your shoulder. This year,
that would have been pretty good.
That would have been the best thing ever. This year, yeah. It was a Britney impersonator. How did that idea come to be, and what did you make of the impersonator?
Well, I wasn't going to do anything. And then, you know, they say, oh, everyone loves it, you know, do something. And then I thought, I looked on the Who's Available, and there's Britney. And I just had my 10-year wedding anniversary on the day before. And so the next day I'm hanging out with Britney at Mountain West Media Day in Vegas. And again, what a job I got. I coach football in Hawaii, God bless America.
You got the best gig ever. The best Labor Day of your life is just a Masterbuilt smoker away. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned professional, you'll find that just right smoker for your backyard cookout. It's easier and it tastes better than grilling. Load the smoker up with your favorite foods, set the time and temp, and walk away. Spend more time with your family and friends. It's available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. For more information, tips, and recipes, visit Masterbuilt.com. You got to coach football in Hawaii. You've got the media days in Vegas. You got a Britney impersonator on your side. Hey, listen, I mean, you're not running around to do stuff like this just for clicks. I know there's a method to the madness. How much of that is about having fun, but how much of that's about generating some attention for the program and getting people and players to think, man, there is something good happening there?
No, a lot of it is because, you know, this program, you know, I think the run and shoot will help, and hopefully we're successful with it. I think that brings attention, but we need just people to be talking about Hawaii football. And if I'm a little bit of a jester on this deal, I get it. But I went here. This is my alum. You know, I want to make sure this place thrives in today's college football. And to get people to talk about Hawaii, I got to do some of those things. I mean, it's not that hard to do. You know, you just come up with an idea and you do it. But, you know, you got to make sure that your kids don't, you know, I tell them all the time, hey, guys, I'm going to do something crazy. Just, you know, don't worry about it. I'm just trying to get people talking about us. And, because I think Hawaii football has a lot to bring to college football. So,
and Nick, not only that, but the program is so unique and it's so different in so many ways. How big of a role then does the culture and the history play in the way you approach the development of that program and what you want that program to be?
It's not even just University of Hawaii, you know, just Hawaii in general. I think you come here to visit, you come here to live, you better be ready to respect the traditions, the culture, the history of not only these islands. But then you come in the football program, you better recognize some of these alums that came through here and played with locker rooms and weight rooms that you couldn't believe. And that stuff doesn't matter. People matter. Desire matters. You know, what kind of warrior are you going to be? Do you need, you know, sweet painted weights in the weight room to move them? No. You go grab a moped, put it over your head, do some chin-ups. You know, you just got to act like a warrior. Things don't matter. I agree people have nice things, but for us, this is about the culture, the people, the quality of life. That's just kind of how we roll.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because before every single practice, the players walk past a portrait of warriors that was given to the program by an artist and a historian. One of the things that's striking about that portrait are the eyes of the warriors. You've asked the players to look at it and to see which one they identify with. What are you hoping to take away from that, or what are you hoping they take away from that?
Just a reminder before they go to practice that they're playing for something bigger than themselves. They're playing for the program. They're playing for this entire state. They're playing for their families. They're playing for their culture. Just a little bit of reminder. Romy, I want to know which warrior's eyes that you represent. I'll keep looking at that guy, too, on the way out.
Yeah, right? I'm going to keep looking at it. I got to let you know which one I identify with most. I don't know. Maybe you, Nick. Maybe you, because you're a guy. Man, you set that alarm for 4:15 every single morning, right? So it's all part of the fun. What is it about football and that job that you love so much? What is it that gets you out of the rack at 4:15 to go to work every single morning?
Yeah, I think inherently our kids are good. You know, I'm talking these young men who are using this game to have unbelievable life experiences, get a college education, you know, seeing some of those success stories. Because, listen, this world is tough, and we're in a place where the more educated, the more aloha, you know, these young men who are going to be a father, they're going to be husbands, they're going to be community leaders, they're going to have, maybe they're the next Romy, you know, they're going to have power to influence people, and as long as they do it in the right way, you know, and I think we're moving in a positive direction.
It all starts again. He is entering his third season as head coach at Hawaii, Nick Rolovich. Saturday at Colorado State. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Network. Nick, great to run you down. And I want to reiterate, I don't care where you are. You could run the table this year. You could run it backwards this year. It doesn't matter. You will be right back here next year. Never sweat
Thanks,
that.
Romy.
You know that, Nick.
Get serious, Big Peach.
Give me a minute so I can talk to you about one of my favorite new products, bespoke post. Imagine style delivered to your front door in a box every month. I'm talking about all sorts of box themes. Style, grooming, cooking, drinking, or travel. Bespoke Post has new boxes every single month that you are guaranteed to dig. And no commitments either. Bespoke Post lets you know which box they've picked out for you on the first of every month, and then you've got 5 days to keep it, switch it, or just skip it. I'm telling you, I look forward to this every single month. I can't wait to bust open that box of awesome. These guys are upgrading my style, my life, one box at a time. It's kind of like a present from myself to myself once a month, and now you too can experience this at boxofawesome.com. Bespoke Post scouts out quality and unique products from around the world and then delivers them to you every single month without high retail markups. To get started, visit boxofawesome.com, answer a few short questions, and then they'll get a feel for the boxes that will best go with your style. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter promo code Rome at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Promo code Rome. Get 20% off your first box. Again, bespoke post, theme boxes for guys that give a damn. Bryce Mitchell. Now, you may not know that name, Bryce Mitchell, but you're about to know his pain. This next take is very graphic in nature. You've been warned. Graphic in nature. Because the 23-year-old MMAer known as Thug Nasty just endured the most gruesome injury that I think I've ever heard of. I've done this a long time. I've seen a lot of gruesome injuries in all sorts of different sports. I'm not sure I've ever heard anything like this. I mean, you've heard me talk about some really gruesome injuries. You've heard me interview some guys who suffered really nasty injuries. This might be the worst ever. It's impossible not to cringe after you hear firsthand what this guy accidentally did to his own junk. No setup will do this any justice, so let me go right ahead and read straight from his Instagram post. And listen, I know a bunch of you might be sitting down to lunch. I know many of you may be on your way to lunch. I know some of you have plans to eat lunch at some point again in your life. If you fall into any of those categories, or if you've got a weak stomach, consider this the one time in my career that I would actually encourage you to leave this show for a couple of minutes. Because Carson Myers, 25-inch tapeworm, thinks that this story is gross. It's nasty. You've been warned. All right, here it is. Straight from Bryce Mitchell's IG post. And I quote, "So, I was gonna train today, but I ripped my nutsack in half. I'm about to get stitched up. I was holding a board over my head with a drill in my pants. I was sizing up the board, and the drill went off and tangled my nuts up in it. I dropped the board and reversed the drill and untangled my nutsack, but they were ripped in half. I'm serious, too. LOL. I obviously can't post a pic. But when my nuts are sealed back up, I'm going to come train again. I think a high kick would re-rip them. Ha ha. And if I hear any bleeping puns about how this whole thing is nutty or screwed up, I ain't talking to you for about a month. If you're going to drop a pun to make fun of me, at least put some thought into it. LOL." End quote. It's an insane post. Somewhere deep in the heart of Michigan, Tim the Toolman Taylor is grunting in pain. Yeah, I don't know what's more amazing. The fact that this dude is still alive. Still alive. Or the fact that this dude dropped two LOLs and a ha-ha in a post about him getting his scrotum tangled up in an electric power drill. I'll say this before I'll say anything else. I love that he checked you before I had to. Like, he won't talk to you for about a month if you respond with a bad pun. And I won't read you on this show for a month if you respond with a bad pun. How's that feel? How's that grab you? Look, we've all missed the nail with a hammer before and blasted our own thumb. But who the hell has ever had a Black & Decker damn near castrate them? I mean, that really is the worst injury that I've ever covered. Excuse me. I mean, I'm choking up just thinking about this. The worst injury I think I've ever talked about on this program. And I talked to the same guy who talked to Devin Powell. I am that guy. And he ruptured his testicle in February of this year. I mean, what is it with MMA guys and these kinds of mishaps? And what about their lighthearted reactions? Trust me, if that happened to me, you would never hear from me ever again, let alone hear me or see me talking about this on Instagram. But here's Bryce Mitchell recounting the entire thing and posting pictures of blood-stained boxer shorts laid out on the hospital bed. And good on the underwear company, Me Undies, to jump in his mentions and offer some free replacements. I don't know, how about Big Five or Sports Chalet sliding in with some free cups for life? How about a power drill company sending him a tool that's not going to get loose and put my man's package in a vise? No wonder this kid's undefeated. Who's going to knock this guy out or get him to tap when a damn power drill putting his scrotum into a spin cycle couldn't do it? The heavyweight champion of boxing used to be known as the baddest dude on the planet. But as of yesterday, I think that loss belongs to the 110th ranked featherweight. Bryce, my man, my sincerest get well soon ever. Next time, call a handyman or get a tool belt or wear a cup. Do anything but put a live wire drill next to your sack. That is the nastiest thing I've ever heard. And he could not wait to rush to the gram to post on it. Everybody knows about the risks of driving drunk. You could get in a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But let's take a moment and look at some surprising statistics. Almost 29 people in the United States die every single day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by a third in the last three decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives every single year. Drunk driving can have a big impact on your wallet also. You could get arrested and incur huge legal expenses. You could possibly even lose your job. So what can you do to prevent drunk driving? Plan a safe ride home before you start drinking. Designate a sober driver or call a taxi. Be a good friend. Do the right thing. Do not let your friends drive drunk. We all know the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing is for sure. You're wrong if you think it's no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. Mike Freeman. Mike, good morning. What's up?
First of all, Jim Schwartz, who I went to Mount St. Joseph High School with, defensive coordinator for the Eagles, got into the Mount St. Joseph Hall of Fame, and I have not. So I am awful and terrible St. Joe alumnus, and he is obviously great. How are you, Jim?
You know, Mike, I'm awesome, but to me, you are still the pride of Mount St. Joseph's. I want to get to Jim Schwartz a little bit later on, and just because you're not in the Hall of Fame yet, or now, doesn't mean it won't happen still, especially with this report or this piece you did on Aaron Rodgers. Mike, I got to start right there. Really compelling interview with Aaron Rodgers up on Bleacher Report, and you start with the sentence, quote, is the most talented quarterback in the history of football about to get even better? First off, it's a strong claim that he's the most talented quarterback in the history of the game. Lay it out for me. What have you seen that makes you say that about him?
So I've heard from a lot of Patriots fans so far today.
Right.
I think he's the best combination we've seen in league history of athletic ability, accuracy, and ability to, Jim, just digest the game. I don't think there's anyone that's been better at all three of those things. There's obviously been, I mean, Tom Brady is a guy that most people say is the best of all time, and there's obviously some points to that, and I would agree with that, and I've gone back and forth between these two. And sometimes I get one week it's one guy, next week it's the next guy, and I don't know what to do. I'm just being honest about it. But I think saying that he's the most talented is pretty safe territory. I mean, you just don't see guys, if you look at the history of the sport, they usually are great in one or two areas. They're great athletes, or they're greatly accurate. Like Tom Brady's not the greatest athlete, but he's so accurate and such a strong leader. And you see, go down history, you see other guys who excel in certain categories, and he excels in pretty much all of them. He's at the top of the list in many, if not most of them. So I think saying he's the most talented is pretty safe territory. And the big thing with him is I think he's got he's played with some really good offenses, 2011, but I think he's got the best offense now he's ever played with, because as he said, the X factor is Jimmy Graham, and Jimmy Graham is a guy who, if he stays healthy, he's impossible to stop. He's great. So it's pretty good to be Aaron Rodgers these days.
Mike Freeman joining us. All right, Mike, so the second part of that statement is he's about to get even better. Is that because of the surrounding cast he has right now or something else? What makes you say that at this point of his career, he is about to get even better?
I think the big part of it is, Jim, just the surrounding cast of people around, the players around him are better. I think he's got a little bit of a better defense, but that offense to me, Davante Adams is just tremendous. It's hard to say he's underrated, but he kind of is in a lot of ways. He's a physical monster and is a very smart football player. You throw in Jimmy, they got a better running game, they got a better offensive line. And I think the big thing with him is that he can do as much as they want, but I think he's going to be able to do less. He's going to have other guys be great instead of having him always be the one that has to be always great all the time. There's people around him now, like Jimmy Graham, who can really help him just relax a little more and just be a quarterback and not always have to carry the entire franchise on his shoulders. There's still going to be a big part of that because he's Aaron Rodgers, and you saw what happens last year when Aaron Rodgers is out of the game, the whole offense just collapses when he gets hurt. So there's still going to be a part of that, but I think more than we've seen before, he's able to really just kind of just dial up things and just let other people win games and not just have it rely totally on him.
So, Mike, bottom line is for me, they're good or are they Super Bowl good this year?
This is a Super Bowl team. Jim, it's just part of it is whenever Aaron Rodgers is playing and he's healthy and he's being Aaron Rodgers, they're always a capable Super Bowl team. I think this though is almost a definite Super Bowl team. Now, that, as he said, that the conference is just stacked. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. The Vikings are quietly building this monster defense with this addition of the safety today. But I think when you have Aaron Rodgers and if Jimmy Graham stays healthy and all these things, they have all these pieces in the place, I think they have a better defense. This is without question a Super Bowl team. Now it's going to be a really, really brutal year in the conference because there's so many good teams, but I would put them right at the top right now.
Mike Freeman joining us once again. So, Mike, obviously the big storyline of the preseason has been the helmet rule. So where does the league go from here with the rule? For instance, are they cracking down in the preseason with the intention of dialing it back in the regular season, or is this the way it's going to be going forward?
You and I have talked about this repeatedly, about how this rule is going to be a disaster. We've been talking about this for months.
We have.
And it's going to be a disaster.
And it is.
You're seeing it now. You're seeing it unfold, why it's so difficult to do this and what they're trying to do. I understand sort of the overall point. They're trying to make the game safer, but it's an impossible mission for the referees, for the game officials to do this. You can't police football at this speed that they play and at this level of power and strength and how fast the game is and ref it the way they want to ref it. It's virtually impossible. It just can't be done. And you're seeing why. And the way it stands now, they're trying to sort of find ways to maybe tweak it, and they're talking about it, and they're doing videos about it, and they're having conferences about it. But so far, it looks like this rule is going to move forward. And if it does, as you and I have been saying, it's still going to be, if it stays like this, and all indications are right now it is, it's going to continue to be a disaster. You're seeing coaches finally go on the record more. They've been saying off the record and privately about how this is going to cost coaches jobs, how it's going to be hard to manage. So it's going to be, this is a very pivotal season, and that this rule could really dramatically affect what happens, how the outcomes, not just of games, but of seasons, of destinies. And it could really, really get ridiculously bad. It's already there. Now you're going to see it, I think, going into the regular season, Jim.
Mike Freeman joining us for a few more moments. Mike, it's August 22nd, and Khalil Mack still does not have a new deal with the Raiders. What is taking so long, and how much longer could this go?
Khalil Mack, like other guys, like Aaron Donald and other guys, see their contracts just don't, they're just not worth what they signed. Now, you could say they signed them, and that's true. They signed those deals. So they signed them, and you got to live up to them, and I get it, and that's true. But guys like Khalil Mack so outplay them, like Aaron Rodgers has so outplayed his, that the contracts are just almost meaningless. And Mack is a, I don't know if people understand this, he's a very sharp guy who understands the finances of football, how much money the owners make, how much money everyone else makes. And they make a lot of money, the players do.
Hey, Mike, how much money his coach makes?
Yes. He said what John Gruden got paid. They know that. So he's gonna sit tight as long as he can. Now, the problem for him and some of these other guys that are holding out is that the rules are completely against them. The CBA is completely against them. And eventually they have to report, or they start losing accrued seasons. They start losing money. They get fined. It gets really, really bad, and eventually he'll report. But right now, he seems pretty satisfied with his sitting out, and that's why it's taking so long. He wants to be paid like a top-tier guy that he is.
This guy's digging in. I mean, this guy's digging in. Aaron Donald, it seems like at least the Rams are in the same ballpark or the same area code. However you want to put it, it seems like there is a discussion, a negotiation. It does not feel that way with the Raiders. Listen, one last thought. You were talking to a longtime AFC assistant coach who told you the team with the most promise is Jacksonville. Now, if I told you a year and a half ago that somebody would say that Jacksonville had the most promise, what would you have said?
I would have said, no way. This has always been the Jaguars. They've had some success. I mean, when Tom Coughlin was coaching, they went to the title games. They had a good franchise early on before, and more recently, they have not been good. And now they have just built a really, really tremendous team, a stacked roster. Now, you can talk about the quarterback. I understand that. But everything around the quarterback, that defense might be the best in football. They have a really strong running game. They've got some good receivers. They have a really talented franchise. And I can see why this coach would say that, and other people think this. You look at the roster, you look at the talent, it's really, really good. Now, they have a lot to prove, and this is going to be a really interesting year coming off all the success they had last year, taking the Patriots kind of down to the wire, and seeing if they can sort of stay cohesive. And a team is one of the biggest challenges in the NFL and professional sports. But they seem to have a good handle on everything. And, yeah, it's a really shocking thing to say that they are really good. And it's like shocking when someone says Star Wars is good because Star Wars is terrible. So it's like that kind of shocking, Jim. You feel me?
Call off the household search party for a stamp with Stamps.com. Why are you still taking trips to the post office to mail letters and packages when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? That's right. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, and you can do it using your own computer and printer. I do it all the time. Then the mail carrier picks it up. Click, print, mail, you're done. It could not be any easier. You may not know it, but I have a stack of important letters and packages and merch and all sorts of business from this show that I have to handle. I let Stamps.com do it. It is so easy and it saves so much time. I should have done this so much sooner. Right now, use Roam for a very special offer. It includes up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the very top of the homepage. Type in Roam. Once again, Stamps.com, enter Roam. Stamps.com, enter Roam. All right, serious note. Let's be real for a minute. When the news broke that Richie Incognito had been arrested on Monday in Arizona, it was not a shock. Let's be real. This was not a shock. This guy's had more than his share of off-the-field incidents. He's already had at least one incident since retirement that was concerning. So adding another to that list is not surprising at all. But when I saw that, while I was not surprised, I was already bracing for the idiotic ways that many of you dopes would react to the news. This is why I'm talking about it right now. There's nothing funny about what allegedly happened. According to the Scottsdale Police Department, Incognito was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct and threats after an incident at a funeral home. Now, I know you're already loading up on your Joaquin-style jokes about getting into a fight at a funeral home, but don't do it. Not here, not now. Because Incognito, and I'm no mental health expert, but Incognito needs help. This guy needs help in the worst possible way. Over the weekend, Incognito tweeted, 8/18/18. I regret to inform you that my father, Army Airborne Ranger Richard Dominic DeJassa, has passed away. Keep my family in your prayers. End of tweet. Listen, the death of a loved one is always difficult. And from the sounds of it, Incognito is having a really tough time dealing with this, understandably. Except his difficulties are showing up in some really dangerous, scary, wild ways, allegedly. Because according to that police report, he arrived at the mortuary and was acting in an erratic fashion. He allegedly began, quote, talking about a lot of random things that did not make sense, one employee told police. He also, quote, walked around the funeral home punching caskets and throwing things, end quote. And if that were not disturbing enough, according to ESPN, he allegedly told employees that he wanted them to cut his father's head off for research purposes. So if you work at a funeral home, you're probably used to a level of confused emotion in your workplace. When people lose somebody they love, there's bound to be a lot of emotions that bubble to the surface. So as somebody who works there, I would imagine you're probably accustomed to seeing people bursting into tears or other displays of emotion. You're probably even used to people saying things that don't make a lot of sense or bouncing from one topic to the next as they try to process exactly what's happening, as they try to process that loss. But what are you thinking if you see a former NFL offensive lineman walking around the funeral home, quote, punching caskets and throwing things? At that point, I'd probably start to get worried. And if that same guy starts saying that he wants you to cut his father's head off for research purposes, then I'm getting scared. And then the terror finds a new level when he is alleged to have made a gun gesture at one employee and talked about having, quote, a truck full of guns in the parking lot. You know, at that point, you're at the holy crap stage. This guy's walking around, punching caskets, throwing things, making gun gestures, telling you he's got a truck full of weapons, and asking you to cut his deceased father's head off. There's nothing funny about that. Man, that's terrifying. That's sheer terror. And sure enough, when the police arrived, they did find a pair of pistols and a handgun silencer and three rifles in his vehicle. A car full of guns, and he wants you to cut his dad's head off. And then the police go on to report that Incognito, quote, appeared to lack concentration and was unable to maintain a coherent thought. Rather, he appeared to ramble about numerous things that did not correlate. His, quote, moods were erratic, as he would be very respectful towards the officer at one point and then immediately raise his voice and demand to be let out of the handcuffs the next. Again, I'm no expert, but seems to me grief takes many forms. Everybody grieves to the death of a loved one in a different way. But if you're threatening a funeral home employee, if you're making a gun gesture, if you're talking about the weapons that you have in your car, if you say that you want your dad's head cut off, man, that's unusual. Really scary, really unusual, and I would imagine very unhealthy. I'm not going to tell anybody how they should or should not grieve, but you can't do that. And if you are doing that, that's a cry for help. Rich, get some help. My man, seriously, get some help. My condolences to you and your family on the loss of your father. Many of us have been through this. I've been through this. It's incredibly traumatic. It can be really, really difficult to process. But please get yourself some help before you hurt yourself or somebody else. Those close to him reportedly have been urging him to do so. Do so now before it's too late. And clones, do not do what you were about to do, because it's not funny and there's no place for it. Not here and not even on some other whack show that you listen to outside of this one. Don't do it. I'm all about talking junk. I'm all about having some fun. But this is not the thing to do it with. Not when a guy like that is behaving like that. Not when he goes to a mortuary and talks about having a car full of guns and makes threatening gestures and wants them to cut his dad's head off. That's not fun. That's not funny. It's really disturbing and concerning. And I really hope that he gets the help that he needs. Dennis Dodd is my guest. Dennis, so good to have you back. What's up? How are you?
Jim, I am on Urban Watch 2018. I'm great.
Good, good. Why don't we start right there then? So Ohio State University trustees, Dennis, were meeting this morning to discuss Urban Meyer's future. You have covered college football. You have covered all sorts of different scandals. What do you make of how the university has handled this entire matter?
It's been strange since Urban really made it a story on or about July 25th at the Big Ten Media Days. And basically doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on the fact that he didn't know about Zach Smith's 2015 incident. And that's really when it became a story, because he in fact says he did know, Jim. We know that because of a tweet he had a couple of weeks ago. And that's why I think his job hangs in the balance. I don't particularly think he will get fired, but I guess we're going to find out sometime really soon.
All right, so are we going to find out really soon in that sense? Because Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch tweeted that an Ohio State spokesperson came right out and told the media that it could go on for quite some time, and there was no promise that that decision would be revealed today. What, if anything, Dennis, do you read into that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, the longer it takes, the more you would think that, I guess, his job is at risk, but that's pure speculation. We were told before this trustees meeting even started that it could go beyond Wednesday. You know, we might have an announcement later this week. But I think there are a lot of things to decide here, Jim. What Urban Meyer knew when he knew it, you now have this McMurphy story coming out with sex toys being allegedly ordered in the facility, sex in the facility allegedly by Zach Smith. And that raises the question, Jim, only because Urban Meyer didn't tell the truth in Chicago, what did he know about that as the state's highest paid employee? That has to be considered, too. I would hope that Ohio State's asking those questions. As outrageous as that sounds, he's made himself subject to those questions.
Dennis Dodd joining us. I mean, Dennis, the question that I keep asking that I simply cannot figure out a good answer to is, why would Meyer keep Zach Smith around?
Right.
Do you have any sense as to why he would do that?
You know, yeah, you make a great point. Like, why would Urban Meyer die on that hill? Or that's a metaphor. You know, why would he hire this guy? Obviously, we've read that he was a grandson of Earl Bruce. Earl Bruce is one of the most admired men in Urban Meyer's life. But he not only hired him, he rehired him. And at Ohio State in 2011 when he got that job. So the question has to be asked, did he notify his superiors of the 2009 incident, which he has said he knew about when Zach Smith allegedly abused his wife in their home? And if he didn't tell them, why didn't he tell them? And did the school properly vet Zach Smith in 2011? And that's kind of why we're here, over a receivers coach.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd, and on top of that, Urban Meyer, Dennis, of course, has claimed that his first two core values are honesty and treat women with respect. He's such a firm believer in both these things. He's had them painted on the wall in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
Yep.
How well has he lived up to those core values in the way he's handled this Zach Smith matter?
Well, it would seem not very well. In fact, when you open the doors and walk down that long hallway in that facility, those words stand out, treat women with respect. And you know, if he does retain his job in any shape or form, with even with a suspension, how does he walk into any home now and tell any mother that, you know, he's going to take care of her son? You know, if I'm a mother, first thing I bring up is, yeah, but there's this. So, and you just can't overlook it. You can't just brush it under the carpet. I don't know what kind of job he's done with that. I guess we're going to find out from the trustees.
So, Dennis, one more thought about that. Why would Ohio State bring him back? I mean, do you think it's a matter of them believing that they can't do better than him as a coach? Or do you think they actually think that he did his job appropriately, or at least reasonably well enough that they can't justify firing him?
Well, he's basically dared them to fire him. If you saw that tweet a couple of weeks ago, if you read between the lines, he basically said, I changed my mind. I did know about it in 2015. I told my superiors, and if you fire me, you owe me $38 million in a buyout. And, oh, by the way, Gene Smith knew too. He's the athletic director. So that, to me, that in itself is an act of insubordination while you're under investigation and suspended. He went off the reservation to tweet that and try to set up, a PR war inside the media. But, you know, where he goes from here, you know, I don't know. I think they're going to have to take that into account when they do this.
Dennis Dodd joining us. All right, Dennis, also a story from the USA Today alleging violations at Texas A&M regarding possible improper benefits for recruits, violating practice rules, and potential mistreatment of an injury. I mean, Dennis, college football has had a really tough offseason. How would you describe the state of the game right now?
It's not very good. We've you know, these stories have revealed the underbelly, the seamy underbelly of the game, Maryland's included in all this, that there is still that culture out there, Jim, and part of what's been alleged by the transfer student at A&M is he was made to practice while he wasn't fully healed. It was abusive, word said at him and players. They were practice outside of the time they were supposed to practice in the summer. And this whole enterprise, Jim, has gotten too big, too fast, too big to fail. So much money, so much hubris. There's no regulation of it. Texas A&M will live on. This will probably end up, if anything, an NCAA infraction. It won't take the program down. But if it's happening there, where are the pressures other places? What is happening all over the country? We just got done with Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze and the length they went to secure a recruiting class in 2016. So I just think it just says at the highest levels, all this is still going on, and it's pretty significant.
Dennis Dodd joining me. Now, Dennis, you also... I mean, as if the sport didn't have enough to worry about already, there is the prospect of the expansion of legalized sports gambling and the impact it might have on the sport itself. You recently talked to my guy, Michael Franzese, about the possibility of fixing games and how that might happen. So what kind of player is most likely to be a target for game fixers?
Jim, I have to give you credit. Dropping your name helped me get the interview with Michael Franzese because I had heard him so many times on your show.
Nice.
And he was great. I mean, I wanted to dig down because he talked to you and me about fixing games when he was in the mob. And I said, how does that look? What does it look like in college football? And many of the same techniques apply in basketball. But I think we all know, Jim, it's a bit easier in basketball because there's fewer players. I said, how does it work in football? And he said, there's one way. You know, you get a guy that's gambling and maybe gets upside down. That happens among college students, believe it or not. He's a senior on a team, and he's got no prospects in the pros. And you go to him and say, hey, how would you like to make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 the easy way? And the kid goes, oh, I'm interested. All you have to do is keep the game under 14 or under 9 or whatever the spread is. Remember, this is not about the outcome of the game. It's always about the spread. That's where these guys make their money. And he said they get a quarterback, a running back, even a linebacker, believe it or not. And tells the guy, hey, the first three times you carry the ball, you drop it. Or he said, the biggest, or quarterback, you know, throw an interception or make it close. He said, the thing you have to watch for is watching garbage time. When somebody drops a pass or a game doesn't cover or something like that, but it's already decided in a 21-point game. That he said he can watch a game now, Jim, and tell if it's been fixed based on what I just told you.
I'm not surprised at all. Dennis Dodd joining us. Michael Franzese is, he's one of the most compelling figures I've ever spoken to literally my entire life. And not just that, right? Then what about the officiating crew? What about the officiating crew? He talks about what it would take, what kind of player it would take. What about the possibility of the member of an officiating crew who's working that game? How did he say that would play out?
Well, that's really, they're vulnerable because we've already seen it with Tim Donaghy. Who he still talks to, by the way, in the NBA. That was the pros. In colleges, they're contract workers. In college football, the officials make between, I think, $1,000 and $3,000 per game, and they have full-time jobs. And the example he said is, what if you need a little extra money for Christmas? You know, you throw a flag here, you throw a flag there. It's not too hard to imagine. I mean, we're talking, look, the stuff we just talked about with these schools, Jim, why can't that happen to one person who compromises their values? And I think it does happen. One major conference this offseason brought in an FBI agent to talk about the new gambling atmosphere. So I think it's that serious. I think those are vulnerable areas in college sports.
You know, Dan, so one last point. I mean, you make the point that there's a reason that there haven't been a lot of college football betting scandals and that college basketball point shaving is easier. I get that. That's a very good point. But just because there haven't been public scandals, does that mean that it's not happening and that it couldn't happen?
I think it's definitely happening. I touched the nerve with Michael Franzese when I said, what percentage of games do you think are fixed? And he got real quiet and he said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. Well, that told me there not only are some, but there's a significant number. Let's just say it's 10% out of, I don't know, how many games are there during a season, 800, 1,200 games in a college football season. If you get down, if somebody gets down on 10% of those games, you can make a whole heck of a lot of money. So I think it's definitely happening. The reason you don't see it is the reason you don't want people to see it. You know, it's underground. And there, to your point, there has been at least one major point shaving or game fixing scandal every decade since the 40s. Almost all of them have been basketball. There was Toledo, I think, in the early part of this century. But it's out there, Jim, and it's happening.
Let's go to Pittsburgh. Kelly in the Berg. It's good to have you on the show, Kelly. How are you?
Jimmy, great to hear from you. Jimmy, hey, listen, it's really nice to talk to you, but what's really nice for us in the Berg is this. We love finally to see something positive coming out of our little stepsister to the north, Cleveland. You know, every time they come to Pittsburgh or we go there, and I'm talking about the family being at Three River Stadium, we've just enjoyed the living daylights out of watching that team come in and suffer the way that they have. You know, your boy out of SoCal enjoyed them so much. Troy Polamalu, can't ever forget Colt McCoy looking in the backfield, staring into our defensive backfield like an old man who just got off the spinny cups at Disney World without his Dramamine. And then, you know, here's the thing with Baker Mayfield. I'm really glad they finally got a rock, so to speak, for quarterback. I don't know that we're going to get to see him this year, but I can't wait till we do. But until then, what's really nice is, see, we haul recycled material out of Cleveland because we got tired of them, and they got tired of it, quite frankly, too, dumping it in their lake. We bring the recycled material back to Pittsburgh. The problem is Baker may not get on the field, but at least he has his underpants episode going on. See, the thing with Baker, though, he needs to box a few sets of that up to send it to Pittsburgh for when he does come here, because he'd never sell enough pair of panties in Cleveland to cover the junk that's in that city. But what we can do in Pittsburgh is we'll hang a set of it off the Liberty Bridge into the Mon River every time we dump his lazy ass in the backfield, like we have, I don't know, Brian Sipe, you mentioned him before, Bernie Kosar, all the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks. And, you know, to finish, Jimmy, what I thought would be really nice, because we don't want to ruin our rivers, maybe Baker could have his face with a Cleveland Browns helmet tattooed on the front of the wormhole of those panties so that our fish don't get sick when they fall in.
All right, Kelly, that's enough.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Well, I actually kind of did like that call, but if I didn't end it, he would have gone on for days. He's back for more. Victor.
Check out little Rick in Buffalo trying to come in via the email like a scared coward, like a bitch. Hey, Rick, pick up the phone and make a call, chump. Don't hide behind an email. Besides, it's just not the same when we can't hear that super cool WWF delivery of yours, man. It's so cool and tough. Hey, Rick, let me ask you something, dork. What does Jim Rome look like to you? Is he 72 years old? Does he have a little mustache? Is he bald? No, my man's got a thick head of spinach. So why do you talk to him like he's Mean Gene Okerlund, you clown? Talk like a normal human. You know, Rome, I've heard of annoying dumbasses who type everything in all caps lock. This freak show might be the first guy who speaks in all caps lock. You know, this guy's been puffing his chest out because he got, like, seventh place in the smack-off. Seventh place. Dude, get fourth a couple of times and then come see about me, all right? Get third. Hell, get first sometime in the smack-off and then come see about me. And I hate to break this to you guys because, you know, it keeps coming up, but Rome doesn't give a damn about what place people get in the smack-off, right? I've played this before. Let me play it again because some of you obviously weren't paying attention.
Rome's worried about who finished 2-3-10 in the smack-off. There's no black type for the smack-off. It doesn't matter if you're fourth, second, fifth, or seventh. It's all zero. And I honestly don't care what order the other people finish today. If you're not first, you're last.
Of course, you know, if you take just one quick look at Rick and his gigantic bald head, then suddenly all of the stupid things that he says and does, they all, you know, all the crappy material generated by his tiny brain, it all starts making perfect sense, Rome. Because have you seen this guy's melon? Oh, my God, man, it is downright prehistoric. You know what he reminds me of with that Stone Age cranium of his? He reminds me of that little video game dude from back in the day from the TurboGrafx-16, you know, Bonk. Bonk's Adventure. You know, a little caveman dude with a giant head that he would use to, like, crush rocks and defeat his enemies and stuff. And that's Rick, man. That's Bonk. Bonk in Buffalo. And look, before you accuse me of personal appearance, Mac, it's not, okay? This is scientific now. This is anthropological. I mean, it's a scientific fact that that cranial structure, while making for a formidable weapon, it doesn't leave much room for actual brain matter, okay? And Rick checks all the boxes, you know. He's got that Cro-Magnon jaw, that Neanderthal brow, that 3-inch thick skull. Hey, listen, I'm not going to front like some kind of tough guy here, right? This guy would kick my ass in real life, I'll admit it. I mean, just one swift strike from that 3-inch thick Australopithecus skull of his, and my face would disintegrate into like 74 pieces. But like I said, Rome, that caveman head of his, it doesn't leave much room for smarts, and it doesn't leave much room for master bill smokers. Hook me up.
Vic. All right, so that time he was not looking to go on that suicide mission, just get that line off so he can get run. The guy was in it to win it. He obviously did. Did you see that Photoshop on CBS Sports Network that he submitted a Bonk and Rick? That time he was in it to win it. He wants me to hook him up. Josh. The Josh in Detroit. Yo, player, it's all
What's
on you,
up,
Josh.
Romy?
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, Romy, thanks for the vine. Don't worry, Jim. I'm not calling for a smoker. I'm just calling to smoke a fool. Jeff in Southfield lost his damn mind calling yesterday and throwing me in a blender. Or check that, Mike in Indy. I guess Mike in Indy had to create a new character because he couldn't win the smack-off with himself. Hey, Mike, you should have picked a better city than Southfield. That's the armpit of Michigan. Oh, Rome, before I forget, I better wore the Woodscope. Since Woodscope says if I wore the show, I could be on the show. Do you see the lineup he has this week? I guess he needs all the help he can get. So I'll be on his show because his lineup is about as pathetic this Friday as Vic and NoCal calling in three tries trying to get a smoker. You know what, Jim? I'm just like a freaking rascal coming in and stealing it all. Smoke me. I'm out!
Josh made it to the end of a phone call. He really did. He didn't get run. He didn't get hammered. He didn't get humiliated. I mean, that plane was going down. That plane was going down. But it's like he hit the eject button right before I can run him. Hey, Josh, that's not bad at all. For you, that's pretty damn good. Not good enough to win, but pretty damn good.
Good night now!